Good morning, everyone. This is Tom Gorman, Chief Executive Officer of Brambles Limited speaking. I'd like to thank you for joining us at such short notice for this morning's call to discuss our intention to demerge Recall, which, as you all know, is our information management business. I'm joined on the line by our CFO, Zlatko Todorcevski, and other members of the Brambles Finance and Investor Relations teams. I'm moving now to slide two. I will begin by running through the highlights of today's announcement. The Brambles Board has determined that it is in the best interest of shareholders to demerge Recall on the ASX as a wholly independent company, which will be referred to from now on as Recall Holdings Limited. In line with our previous statements about our intention to divest Recall, separating the business enables Brambles to concentrate on executing our growth strategies in the pooling solutions businesses. This strategy involves expansion of the pooling business in existing and adjacent segments in which we believe the growth opportunities offer strong returns for shareholders by leveraging our leadership positions in pooling in these markets. At the same time, we believe a strong and independent Recall with a dedicated information management focus will be more able to execute its own strategies and opportunities to build shareholder value going forward. Recall has a strong, stable, and recurring sales revenue and cash flow, and has solid growth prospects in both developed and emerging markets. We believe Recall will be able to support net debt of approximately $450 million. This is an amount which is appropriate for a company of Recall size, as well as the nature of its business. Now, as part of today's announcement, we are very pleased to announce that Dr. Ian Blackburn will be appointed chairman of Recall Holdings, with the recently appointed Doug Pertz continuing as the Recall Chief Executive Officer. The dividend policy of Recall Holdings will, of course, be determined by Dr. Blackburn and his board, but directionally, we believe Recall's cash flow will support a strong dividend. More detail on all of these issues will be available in the scheme book for the demerger, which we expect to distribute in October of this year. We are targeting completion of the demerger in December of this year. Now, I'll touch on some of the key dates in more detail on the next slide. So now I'm moving on to slide number three. A key point to make here in this slide is that the demerger is, of course, subject to court and regulatory approval and the approval of Bramble shareholders. We anticipate that we will be holding a scheme meeting in early December, which would enable the new company to list before the end of this calendar year. Moving on to slide four. As I said earlier, I'm very pleased that Ian Blackburn has agreed to be appointed Recall chairman and to lead the appointment of the Recall board. Ian is a very experienced director. He is currently chairman of the ASX-listed gaming technology company, Aristocrat Leisure, as well as a director of the New York Stock Exchange-listed marine energy transportation company, TK Corporation. Ian was previously chairman of CSR and the Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organization, as well as a director of both Symbion Health and Suncorp Metway. Recall CEO Doug Pertz was appointed in March and has already made a strong impact as he has helped to develop the company's strategy and strengthen the management team over the past couple of months. Doug has broad experience. He's led industrial companies through times of change and most notably was previously CEO and chairman of U.S.-listed Culligan Water Technologies and IMC Global, which is now the Mosaic Company, which provides consulting services in the energy and utility industries. I will now discuss the short-term outlook for Recall and for Brambles in a bit more depth. It's important to understand that the performance over this financial year and the previous financial year, it's important to look at both those years in context of the longer-term trend. Now, moving on to slide five. As we reported our half-year result and at our third quarter trading update, Recall has experienced a decline in sales revenue in the 2013 financial year. Continued growth in storage volumes and sales revenue have not been sufficient to offset lower transactional or project activity in the document management business, as well as somewhat weaker selling prices for scrap paper. Our financial performance in the fourth quarter suggests we likely will show a 3% decline in recall sales revenue at constant currency, and that's for the full 2013 financial year. With the lower level of the higher margin project activity, as well as an increase in business development costs, which were curtailed in the 2012 financial year when we were pursuing a sale of the recall business, we now anticipate recall's underlying profit for the 2013 financial year will be between $138 and $142 million U.S. dollars, and that again is at 30 June 2012 exchange rates. Now that amount translates to between $140 and $144 million U.S. dollars at actual exchange rates. I'd like to emphasize here that all the figures and forecasts in this presentation, unless stated, are based on Bramble's current corporate cost allocations. The independent recall holdings may have different corporate costs, and while it no longer will have Bramble's head office cost allocations in its numbers, it will have its own additional corporate costs. We estimate that the net impact of the standalone corporate costs will be an increase of approximately $6 million U.S. dollars in recall costs relative to what you'll see for them in the 2013 financial year. We are also restating and reconfirming today that our underlying profit for the Brambles Group as a whole for the 2013 financial year remains unchanged at 1.03 to 1.06 billion U.S. dollars. So that is 1.030 million to 1.060 million U.S. dollars. And as we always do, that guidance is given at 30 June 2012 exchange rates. Looking further forward, we expect the new recall company to be well-placed to grow both sales revenue and underlying profit in the 2014 financial year. Allow me now to go in a little more depth on recall's profile and financial performance. I move now to slide number 6. I'll start with some comments on recall sales revenue performance. About two-thirds of recall sales revenue can be classified as recurring in nature, most of which comes from storage revenues in the document management solutions, or as we refer to it, the DMS service line. Looking at recall's total sales revenue at 30 June 2012 exchange rates, compound annual growth is on track to be 2% over the 5 years to the end of this financial year. And that, of course, is even after annualizing the 3% decline that we're experiencing in the 11 months up to 31 May. Now, we're extrapolating that for the rest of the 2013 financial year. So to be clear, the five-year compound annual growth rate of 2% includes a decline in FY13. We believe this is a strong performance, particularly in the context of some extremely challenging underlying economic conditions during the period. Now, the next slide shows how carton holdings have grown over the same period. I turn now to slide 7. You can see here that average annual carton holdings passed the 100 million number worldwide during the 2012 financial year, and we're now estimating that carton holdings will be approximately 104 million at the end of the 2013 financial year. More importantly, carton storage sales revenue has also been going up, and the growth is balanced throughout our four regions. Moving now to slide 8. Recall's five-year trends for cash flow generation and profitability show strong positive development. Again, at 30 June 2012 exchange rates as a base, and even taking into account the forecast decline in profit in the 2013 financial year, compound annual growth rate in underlying profit is on track to be 3% over the 5 years to 2013, while margins and return on capital have also trended upward. Cash flow has been solid during this period, despite an increase in capital expenditure to fund growth in the 2011 financial year. Moving now to slide 9. I'd like to look briefly at the growth opportunities for recall, which again, we believe remain solid. Recall generated 80% of its new business in the 2012 financial year from customers that were previously unvended by outsourced service providers. As the chart to the right of this page shows, opportunities to continue to convert presently unvended customers remain considerable. With only just over one-third of an estimated physical document management opportunity of $11.4 billion U.S. dollars currently penetrated. This market assessment is based on recall management estimates, as well as our work with the Boston Consulting Group in defining the market. There are, of course, also continued opportunities in the digital service delivery for recall, as well as growth opportunities in emerging markets, particularly given recall's strong geographic presence in Latin America and Asia. So now, to summarize, I move your attention to slide 10. We are confident that the proposal to demerge recall will deliver value for shareholders. The transaction will enable us to strengthen our focus on executing our strategy in the pooling solutions businesses at Brambles, while also giving recall the independence to pursue its own opportunities. We are looking forward to executing the transaction over the coming months with a target completion by the end of this calendar year. I thank you for your attention for those prepared comments, and I'm now happy to open for questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star key followed by the number two. We will pause for a moment to assemble a queue. The first question comes from the line of Simon Mitchell from UBS.
Good morning. Tom, given the what looks to be a rather big decline in EBIT in the second half for recall, which implied from the roughly $140 million number you've given, what gives you the confidence that the business can grow next year?
Simon, hi. It's good to hear from you. Simon, look, I think that you have to look in a way at, I don't want to call it a perfect storm in FY13, but there are a number of actions that impacted the FY13 performance. Number one, as you will recall, in the first half of the year, we saw a significant decline in paper prices that affected the top line of recall. Number two, we have seen a global slowdown in activity revenue, and that's not just unique to recall. We've seen that also on the Iron Mountain side as they've disclosed their own financial performance. So that affected really the revenue equation. And then in addition, we did add back some, broadly speaking, business development and sales costs into the FY13 period to really take advantage of some growth opportunities that we see in FY14 and beyond. So I think now with, you know, Doug and a few new members of his team on board, the focus has been, after a disruptive year, to be very blunt, the focus is now on going after some of those growth opportunities, continuing to focus on business excellence, so keeping the cost base low, and we do believe that there continue to be top-line growth opportunities which will drive both an increase in revenue and profit in FY14.
Okay, and just on costs, I see there's no comment on transaction costs associated with the demerge in terms of tax, et cetera. Is there any estimate you can give us on that?
Yeah, look, we will have a complete disclosure of all of that, Simon, as we move through to August when we release our FY13 results. And as we have typically done over the last 3 years, we'll also provide some guidance for FY14 at that time in a bit more detail.
All right. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Scott Kelly from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tom. Just a couple of quick questions. Have you ruled out any sale transactions through this process?
Look, Scott, thanks for participating. Scott, the objective of the Brambles board, and in fact our objective, is to complete a successful demerger. As everybody knows, we entered into a sale process well over a year ago, and it was about a year ago this time that we decided that we could not get the certainty or the value associated with a sale process, so we pulled it. We are not running a dual process here at all. This is a singular focus on executing a demerger. You know, obviously, there will be a number of parties that may wish to talk to us, but it would have to be a significant premium for us to do anything other than our committed path. We want to control the timing, and we want to control the outcome, and we believe that the demerger offers an outstanding result for shareholders both at Brambles and Recall, and we remain committed to this path.
Okay, thank you. And secondly, just in terms of Brambles balance sheet capacity post the demerger, can you make any comment about your intentions there?
No, look, I mean, we are committed to the ratings that we hold today. So, and as I think everybody is aware, you know, we are a solid BBB plus rating. Our key metric is a net debt to EBITDA of 1.75:1. We're well within that, and we're well within all of our bank covenants, and we don't see any of that changing going forward as it relates to Brambles.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Matt Spence from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tom. Can you just provide two comments? Firstly, on CapEx for Recall going forward, is there anything particularly lumpy planned, or should we be using the current run rate? And then I guess the capacity for Recall to pay a franked dividend, or I assume that's fairly limited given the limited exposure in Australia. So just those
two. Yeah, I think so on the first one, we see nothing that's lumpy. I mean, there was a slight uptick in FY11, as I indicated, because, you know, look, there that comes that they had a number of ICs and there was some growth opportunities, and that was a bit lumpy. But we don't see anything out of the norm. And look, as long as Recall is part of Brambles, we're going to continue to manage it to deliver value as we always have. So we'll continue to invest in Recall as appropriate as long as it's part of the Brambles family. But we don't see anything lumpy. So if you look at, on average, the last couple of years, that probably give you good guidance. In terms of a frank dividend, you're correct. Roughly 30% of their business is Australian-based going forward. But the actual franking of that, there's a little bit more work to be done, but it can't actually frank until they pay taxes in Australia. So we'll clarify that over the coming months. But your broad, you know, your broad estimate here and your broad understanding is accurate.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Russell Shaw from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Morning, Jen. Sounds like quite a few of my questions have already been answered. But just in terms of the, I suppose, the margin pressures you've been having in that second half and what's traditionally your stronger season, how much of that decline is the normalization of business development costs, as you mentioned, versus lower margin on the secured destruction and on the core business, DMS business?
Look, I think if you're going to break out the components, and again, we'll do more of this, you know, when we actually get our audited financial statements at the, you know, and when we talk to the market in August. But if you look at what really happened, the first half of the year was more of a story on a year-over-year basis of paper prices. We saw a pretty sharp decline, and we talked about this at the half year. In the second half of the year, I think we've seen two things. One is the actual activity volume coming off. And activity does generate fairly high margin revenue for us. So there was a general slowdown in activity, and particularly slow in Europe when you step back and look at the business. And then we also did put some business development costs in the second half. So if I were to look first half versus second, I would say more of the first half story was around paper price, and the second half really is a slowdown in activity and a little bit of cost going back in to support business development.
So have you seen those paper prices then recover in the last 2 months?
Well, what's happened is paper prices have stabilized at a generally lower level, but they're broadly in line with where paper prices were for the second half of last year. They're down over $100 from high point to low point, $100 per ton. But the point here being, Russell, that last year we came into FY12 at a very high paper price. So yeah, when we looked at the comp in the first half of this year, it was quite negative. That normalized itself in the second half at a lower level, but, you know, in terms of a comp, it wasn't as difficult a comp in the second half.
Okay, great. And then just on the, I guess you've given EBIT guidance. I presume there's not much change on the depreciation charge first half and second half?
No.
No.
Great, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Matt Crowe from the Commonwealth Bank. Please go ahead.
G'day, Tom. I was just wondering if you could give us a bit of colour on the lease payments. I mean, there's about $250 million at the group level and roughly the split between Recall and the rest of Brambles.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. So when you look at the leases that will come out of Brambles, on a weighted basis, obviously Recall has more leases than the pooling businesses do. So I think in total of our lease portfolio, about half of those leases will come out of the group and will go with Recall. And obviously on a percentage basis, that's significantly higher given that they're about 15% of the total. Okay. Flatco, any comment on that?
No, I think that's exactly right, Tom. It's roughly 50-50%.
Okay, thanks very much.
And your next question comes from the line of Stephen Johnson from the Australian Associated Press. Please.
Oh, hello there. Hello, Tom. Just asking about Recall. In the 6 months to December last year, Recall had a 5% fall in revenue and only represented 16% of Brambles' overall revenue. So, I mean, surely Recall has been a drag on Brambles' performance. Is that why you're demerging it?
Now, look, to be very clear, Recall is a good business. I think that in a way, that's why I tried to emphasize, you need to look at Recall's performance over a period of time. FY13, no question, the performance has been lower than 12. But on a trend basis, this is a good business that has shown repeated improvement in terms of margin, top-line growth, and importantly, return on capital. The reason that we're demerging Recall is a strategic decision. We've been very open about this, that as the board has reviewed where we felt our opportunities were going forward, we are committed to being a global pooling solutions provider. And that means that continuing to invest in areas where we believe we have a strong market position, where we have significant intellectual property which we can leverage to the benefit of our shareholders and our customers. And the pooling business, we believe, has higher growth potential and long-term higher return on capital opportunities. So we're going to take our capital and plow it into those businesses. And I think it would be the wrong thing to do to keep Recall in that environment. Recall as a good business also has growth opportunities, also has opportunities to return value to its shareholders. And as an independent company, we believe they can manage their future far more effectively than in effect being crowded out within the pool, you know, compared next to the pooling business. Our pooling businesses are incredibly strong businesses, and it's very difficult for any business to shine well compared to those. But if you look at the financial dynamics of the Recall business, I don't think there's a CEO around that wouldn't be proud to run that business as an independent company. It has a strong and stable and recurring customer base. It produces strong cash flow. It covers its cost of capital and return on capital, and there are growth opportunities. And I think Doug Pertz, under Ian's chairmanship and his leadership, I think can pursue those more freely than they otherwise would have as part of the Brambles Group.
But my follow-up question is that in June 2012, you tried to sell Recall and you couldn't find a buyer who was willing to pay an appropriate price. So surely its struggling market value must be a big concern to you.
I think that's an inaccurate assessment of what happened. There were a number of buyers at the time, and what we could not achieve was the certainty of the transaction. If you hearken back to that period of time, the debt capital markets were extremely uncertain and became very wobbly through that process, and a number of buyers wanted to share with us a certain amount of risk going forward, whether they wanted us to take a seller note or participate in long-term ownership, and we did not think that that was in the best interest of our shareholders. And where we are today, if you remember back in June of last year, we went to the equity markets. We raised $450 million of capital from our shareholders to strengthen the Brambles business going forward. And a sale process today, when in essence we don't need the cash and we can return a very valuable asset to our shareholders directly through a demerger, that we can control the outcome of. We believe that's a far better solution for our shareholders than the sale process, which you're accurately describing we did not complete, but we did not complete it because we couldn't get the certainty that we believe our shareholders deserve.
And just finally,
your next question comes from the line of Encho Rykovsky from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a question which I know has been asked in a slightly different way, but I just wanted to focus on the guidance which you've given for recall into FY14. We expect it's well placed to generate growth in revenue and underlying profit. And I'm just wondering, is this ultimately contingent on paper pricing, and if there is a continued decline, which we have seen this year, is that likely to affect the operations? And also in terms of margins, are you expecting, as you cycle out of those business development costs, that to affect the business? I'm particularly thinking about the additional $6 million of costs, which will have to be taken into account, or obviously need to, will affect performance.
So first of all, on paper prices, I think that, you know, our assumption for paper prices going forward is that they stabilize at the level they are around today, which, by the way, is about $100-something lower than they were at the beginning of the year. So we think we've made a reasonable assessment of paper prices into FY14. And we also anticipate that the business development costs that are putting that we put in place in FY13 actually yield a benefit in FY14. And we're fairly confident that that will happen. So what I mean by that is sales teams, sales resources that go in this year begin producing positive results next year. And we have a pretty good view into opportunities in FY14, and we feel good about it from where we sit today.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Ross Kelly from Wall Street Journal.
Hi, Tom. If I could just ask if you see any structural pressure on the document management industry for more information going digital. Is that evident already in your guidance today?
No, you know, Ross, I think that's a great question. It's obviously a question that comes up frequently. But actually, you know, we have taken the last 12 months to do a considerable amount of work on that in terms of developing the longer-term strategies for recall. And our view is that paper is continuing to grow. And I think we're proving that if you look at our carton volume growth, which shows steady growth over the last number of years, and we see that continuing to grow in the future. I think the so-called digital threat that folks have talked about is not evident in this space. We see more paper being generated. Privacy Act, the requirement around the world, the requirements for many of our many companies in our verticals of government, financial services, legal, and including medical, the requirements to hold more documents is actually growing. So, I mean, we do not see that. We see a continued steady, and moderate growth in paper volumes, and we've been able to cover that. So the DMS, the document management services business, the physical component of our business, continues to be very strong.
Okay, and just one more quick one from me. I think you were talking about getting upwards of about $2 billion US for the sale last year. Do you reckon the market cap of the business post-demerger would be, you know, substantially below that, or would that be getting close to the value of the business?
Yeah, I think, look, I mean, this is probably not the answer you want to hear, but, you know, the value will be what it'll be. I mean, this is a different process. This is not a sale process where we're holding an auction with a number of potential buyers. This is a process where the value of recall is evident within the total value of Brambles, and we're going through a process of separating the company out and allowing to stand as an independent company going forward. Obviously, we've done a considerable amount of analysis on what we think is fair value, but at the end of the day, the market will value it as it goes through its assessment of the business. We think that recall is a strong business. We think it'll be a substantial business in terms of the ASX 200, and we think there'll be a significant amount of investor interest in recall going forward. It has a very global footprint. It has a very high quality level of customers. Their customer base is loyal. It tends to be a very sticky customer base. There is an annuity type component to their document management business, and we believe that it has growth opportunities ahead of it. And under Doug's leadership, and with Ian as chairman, I think as an independent company, they can really go after those opportunities, and we believe this will be attractive for shareholders.
Okay,
Tom, if I might just jump in there quickly, it's like a, Ross, to your question, I think comparing a potential sale price with the market cap of a Recall standalone, you've got to keep in mind that there will be debt within Recall, and we've indicated it will be approximately $450 million. So whatever the value is of the underlying assets, they'll be reduced for market cap purposes, taking into account that debt level, so you need to keep that in mind as well.
Okay, cheers, thanks.
Thanks, E.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And your next question comes from the line of Scott Ryle from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Tom, I wonder if you could just estimate for me the percentage of your time that goes into recall issues, given it's roughly 15% of EBIT. Is that about the time split for you as well?
Well, today it's 100%, Scott.
It obviously peaks and troughs. What, just looking back to the last 12 months since the sale process was called off, for instance?
I think you have what you're really asking a complicated. You have to look at a sort of an ongoing business and then, you know, some of the issues we were dealing with through the sale process and where we are today. I mean, as an ongoing business, you know, we've established a fairly disciplined rhythm within our company over the last number of years. And, you know, each month we have a series of we call them, business performance reviews. But each one of the business units, all, so the pallets business, the containers business, and the RPC business, along with recall, they get equal amount of attention through that process. So the head office team goes through all of their metrics, and then we hold somewhere between a 90-minute and a two-hour video conference with each of the business units. And then every quarter, we get together around the world, and we focus on strategic issues with each of the business units, and recall gets one day of that. So, of the 5 days we're together, they get 20% of the time. And I think on an ongoing basis, particularly since Doug has been on board, you know, Doug and I speak frequently throughout every week. But there's no question that recall has had a considerable amount of focus from all of the corporate resources, not just through the, through the failed sale process of last year, but as we were really coming to grips with their strategy and, you know, what was the right thing to do from a shareholder perspective, we clearly have spent a bit more time on recall than you would in the normal course. But in the normal course, you know, I would say 15 to 20% of my time, you know, customer events, employee initiatives. The fortunate thing is that they are in Atlanta, and Atlanta is now really the North American base for our pooling business. So in terms of just covering both businesses in the same market, it's quite easy. Their European headquarters is in London, and our pooling European headquarters is just outside of London, so that makes it easy. But there's never a market when Zlatko and I are on the road. So if we're in India, we stop in and see the recall team. You know, if we spend 3 days on the pooling business, we'll spend 1 day with recall. In China, we do the same. We spent a week of immersion in Brazil, and we dedicated 1 day to recall. So recall is never left out of the equation, but normalized, I'd say 15 to 20% is probably right. Zlatko, you agree with that?
Yeah, I do, Tom. That's definitely right.
So I guess my question is, come December, you've got a bit of free time on your hands, right? What do you think can be done in the pooling businesses that might not have been able to be done due to constraints on human capacity?
Look, I think any business, there are two areas to focus on. One is financial capital and one is human capital. So the real issue here is that our financial capital that we've been allocating to recall, and again, recall is a good business, but we think that financial capital, applying that to a higher growth business in pooling, a business where, quite honestly, we have a much stronger market position, and as I indicated earlier, our intellectual property in pooling affords us to drive more value for our shareholders and our customers. So we are going to focus our financial capital on these higher growth opportunities. And from a human capital perspective, you're right to point out that theoretically now we have, 15% of the corporate time freed up, and we will continue to focus on growing our business units. So, look, it's not the kind of thing where you say today's Tuesday, therefore it's recall. That's not really the way business works. You tend to put your effort and your energy around broad strategic themes, which we are driving aggressively in the pooling business. And then from time to time, every senior executive is brought into situations where you're fighting fires and dealing with operational issues in the short term. And, of course, all of that will go away. And I think we'll just get a much more focused company within Brambles as we focused on pooling. And I think clearly you'll get a more focused company in recall. The cloud of the future of recall today, I think, has been lifted. And I think all of our recall employees are going to feel very good about their future as an independent company.
Yeah, okay. And then I guess that leads on to my second one. And I apologize if you covered this in the presentation. I came on a little late. What is there in terms of staff incentives and things like that for recall? You won't have finalized anything yet, but is the intention that you have something pretty standard in terms of staff incentives in the listed company once it's demerged?
Well, look, I mean, I don't want to be flippant here, but the incentive to have an independent, publicly owned company is a pretty powerful incentive. I mean, if you're in business,
No, I agree. I agree.
Don't want to chart your own future, I suggest you go do something else. I mean, I think that's a pretty powerful incentive for all of our recall employees. And I think anything relative to their remuneration and benefits going forward is really going to be the purview of Ian Blackburn and the to-be-constituted recall board. So I'd really leave that to the recall team. Whatever is required to be disclosed in the scheme booklet, of course, we'll do that. And that will become a lot clearer as the months unfold.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. That's all I had. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Gorman, please continue.
Well, look, guys, I'll say thank you very much to all of you for joining on the call today. Obviously, Kathy and James and the vast staff that we have here in investor relations and corporate communications will be available to take calls. And if there are any other questions, please feel free to come in to us. And thanks again for joining us this morning.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.